I want to read just a little bit to you tonight from the book of Joel. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me. The book of Joel. And I want to read to you from the second chapter. I want to say before I read that I sincerely appreciate the offering that you gave to the fellows this morning to help them. I know that it's been real tight with you, and I understand it. But it takes a lot of money to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And they were so grateful, so very grateful for what you gave them. Appreciate you coming here so very much. And I appreciate you working with me, believing in me, and following me as I follow Christ. And I ask you to continue to work with me. Try to understand what I say. You know, you need to learn this one thing, folks. You need to strive to understand. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest you let them slip. Take heed how that you hear. You might say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? Take heed how that I hear. Somebody would say, I'm listening very careful. But that isn't what the Lord was speaking of. When he tells us to take heed how that we hear, be sure that we do not receive what God is saying with a critical spirit, with a critical attitude, for personal motives, having nothing in mind except a pure heart to receive the word of God to understand. Don't receive it any other way. Don't hear it any other way. Take heed how that you hear, what your motives and thoughts are, and the way that you are judging a situation while God himself is speaking. Because when we're up here and the Lord begins to speak, it is not us speaking, but it is God himself. Did you know that if you would come here in the right attitude, spiritually hungry, believing in the living God, every night there wouldn't be one that would fail. Every night that you came here, God would speak to you. Did you know that? Now you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. But it's true. The eternal God, the great majesty of heaven, would speak to you every night that you come here. Not only would he speak to you from the word of God, but he would speak to many of you individually and tell you things about your life and your heart and what would benefit you. And what would help you? This evening, before we let the brethren get away, Brother Ken asked us to lay hands on him and pray for him. And we did. Gave him a word of prophecy. And then told him about his life, the things that was hindering him, and what the condition of his heart was, and what was in the background, and what he'd have to do to find the place that he wanted to find with God. And it thrilled his heart so much that it tore him all up. And Brother Robert wasn't satisfied until we laid hands on him after he heard us speak to Ken. But here I very seldom ever speak to some of you because of the unbelief that you have. I don't bother to even try. I just go on my way, doing whatever I can, preaching the word, and hoping and trusting that you will receive something, and laying hands on the sick, trusting that God will keep my congregation healthy. In the book of Joel, in the second chapter, the first verse, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people, and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. The fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them. Behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and of horsemen. So shall they run, like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains. Shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his way. And they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathens, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hind part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army which I send among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. In the second chapter of the book of Joel, we're told that the day of the Lord is at hand. It's nigh. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness, in that the Bible tells us that gross darkness shall cover the people. Therefore, it'll be a day of darkness. Intellectual reasoning, intellectual power shall overspread. Great day of darkness, that it'd be hard to find the visions of God, the understanding of God, the powers and ingenuity of God. A great day of darkness, great clouds of darkness. You know, in the day that we're living in, the clouds are darker than ever. They're billowing up hundreds of thousands of people that hate God. Clouds, black, dark clouds, billowing up over the people. Their intellectual reasoning has cut them off from the light of God. And he said it would be a great day of darkness, a day of darkness and of gloominess. The Spirit of God being lifted from the people, it will cause a great gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spreads upon the mountain. Then he said a great people will come forth, a strong people that's never been the like of. There'll come forth an army that will devour the people, a great and a mighty people, the army of the Lord, that's called the locusts and those that devour. And then after that, God will bring forth his people, and there shall be a great restoration, and he will restore what the locust has gotten. He says down here that he will pour out of his spirit afterwards upon all the people. And it shall be a great day. A great day shall come, and God shall pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And the sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. All my servants and all my handmaidens in that day, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. We know that according to the Bible, that Pentecost was the fulfillment of this prophecy. Pentecost brought the outpouring of God's Spirit. And even Philip's daughters prophesied. Many great signs and wonders and miracles was done. But we who understand God, we also know that Pentecost was a preview of the coming events of Christ. That Pentecost was only something that God previewed, and when the preview came, everybody viewed it, and then it went away. Because, as Paul said, it was out of season at that time. And if it had continued, then the whole church would have been raptured. But in that the mysteries of God are great, and there can be no rapture without the mysteries of God being finished, God had to put it within a veil that's called the Dark Age. Whereas the Bible teaches that there is a veil over the face of the minds of the people in the reading of the Old Testament, the veil remaining until today, which veil is done away with in Christ. So then when we see this, we are made to realize that there is something that's great, something that is wonderful, that is about to be made known to the church and given to the church. Everybody will not see it, for the wicked shall not see when good cometh. But it's going to be a great spiritual thing. And it's going to be for spiritual people. That's why you must beware. You must give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. You've got to have a confidence that will go beyond the teachings of mortal men, and a confidence that will go beyond the image of a mortal man, that you might reach out by faith and be partakers of a divine blessing that God hath for the church. I've given you the former rain, but he said, I will give you in the end time both the former rain and the latter rain. The beginning of this year, in what I understand, in the coming in of the spring, And what I see and what I believe has to do with the latter rain pouring down upon the church. And many of you who are looking for this in the wrong way will never be partakers of it. It's like the man that stood at the gate when the prophet told him, because of his unbelief, said, it will happen, but you will not be partakers because you have been an unbeliever. But for those that can believe, there is a great, wonderful, outstanding thing that is taking place in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people would say, Brother Pike, where is this great spirit that you talk about? Where is this great spirit that the preachers have preached about so many years? Where is that great spirit? I've not seen it, somebody would say. Where is it? They talk about it. And yet the church is dry. Yet the church, we are here in the church day after day and we don't see it. You couldn't possibly see it. Your heart isn't right with God. You're blind. The blind lead the blind. They all fall into the ditch. But I can assure you that the great spirit that we speak of is present in the church today. It's present right now in the sanctuary of Little Bethlehem. Not only that, but it is present right now in the heart of the minister. And it's present in the heart of every believer that's in the sanctuary tonight. That great spirit that I speak about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have this great treasure in earthen vessels. It is present tonight. That great spirit. Somebody would say, well, I don't see anything so great about it. I've got it, but so what? That shows your spiritual ignorance. This great eternal fountain of life that's in my breast tonight, that's in my heart tonight, that can speak a world into existence or speak a world out of existence, that can speak you into existence or speak you out of existence. Though they mock it, as the girl that wrote the little article, they put it in a hippie talk. But I wouldn't dare even think the things that they say concerning the Holy Spirit. One word spoken against Him shall not be forgiven in this world, nor in the world to come. The great and mighty Spirit of the living God, the great powers of the Holy Spirit, not any Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. And I can tell that with all of my emphasis and my drive, it doesn't have any effect on some of you. But nevertheless, it's in my heart. It is with me. It talks with me. Somebody would say, well, what is so exciting about this great spirit that you speak about? It doesn't do anything to me like that, but it does me. It talks to me. Every day it speaks to me. It leads me. It indoctrinates me. It tells me. It opens the heavens to me. The Bible said Jesus looked and the heavens were open. I see the heavens open and behold the Son of God. The heavens are open to me because I believe. I see the heavens open to me. I feel His great presence with me. I feel the billows of His glory raising up in my soul. And every day as I look and see the heavens open to me, and I see the great treasures of God, I see the great things of God, and I'm indoctrinated, and I feel strong and holy and pure by His glorious presence. Not only that, but I feel the billows and the waves of glory as it comes down over my soul. I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit as I speak in other tongues. Tongues from another world. I speak in those tongues. And I enjoy the presence of God from that other world, tasting of the heavenly things, being made partakers of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to try to prove anything to you, because you're too quick in your thoughts. You judge too quickly. You surmise too quickly. You fall into the hands of Satan at his will, at his desire. The Bible said that the wicked are taken into captivity to the will of Satan. Anything that he wants to do, he just brings the thoughts across their mind, just like somebody using a typewriter. And he's got them. But this great spirit, the great power of God, the heavens being open, Who was the heavens open unto? John said, I saw the heavens roll back as a scroll. Who was the heavens open to? When Jesus was baptized and he looked up, the Bible said, behold, the heavens was open. Who was the heavens open to? They were open to the Son of God. I'm a son of God tonight. And the heavens are open to me. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh tonight. And the heavens have been open to me. Glory to God. And I see the wonderful goodness of God, the great power of God, the great things of God. And I feel this jubilance and I feel this blessing. And I look by this great Spirit, I can look down into man's lives and down into man's heart. And look down there and see his disposition and see what he is and who he is and what his problem is. And by that, able to direct their lives and tell them the wonderful things of God. How? Because the heavens are open unto me. See, the Bible said, all that my Father has made known unto me, I've made known unto you. You have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. Not just earthly things, but heavenly things. That the heavens should be open unto you. Not just an earthly education of going to college and reasoning over letters and characters and numbers, but rather by divine revelation coming into the great Spirit of God and the great power of God in having His presence. Abel, at all times, to feel His presence, to have His direction, not to have to work up something, not to have to have the power of a microphone, not to have great lights and video, but He's with me all the day long. I feel His presence. When I try to talk to you, many of you, I cannot have the connection with you that I would love to have. Not because I do not feel Him, not because He is not with me, but because you're not relative to my spirit. You're not relative to the God that lives in this temple. Therefore, I have no connection with you. And many of you live in the shadows all the time, to where there's a cloud of darkness that's between you, a cloud of condemnation that's between you and God when He goes to speak to you. Whereas the Bible said, thine iniquities have separated between you and your God, and help back the good things of God from you. How? By condemnation, lack of faith, not being able to reach up and take hold of them by faith. But God says to the man that's jubilant, the man that's full of the Holy Ghost, the man that can believe, God says to him, wherever you put your foot, I'll give it to you. Just go forth. Somebody would say, I'm waiting for God to send me, I'm waiting for God to tell me. They would say, when God shows me. But see, the Bible tells us that we are to be aggressive in God. The Bible said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that we need to sit down. I believe we need to be tutored. I believe we need to know what we're doing. But I believe that we should be aggressive in God at all times. And that we should live with the conviction of heart that wherever I set my foot, I will conquer and take it for Jesus. If you don't have that conviction, then you're not a victorian in Christ. Tonight, I'm a victorian in Christ. I believe that wherever I go, I will conquer the land for Jesus Christ. I believe that whoever I meet, I will subdue the individual for Jesus Christ. If he be an enemy, I will pierce him through and not spare him, that he might not be a prick in my side. I will bind him. But if he be a brother, I will encourage him. I will strengthen him and help him to be on his way with the greater things of God. So then, we are to be great people of great jubilance and exhilaration. Not dead, formal, and cold, but alive, lively stones, doing something for God. In the book of Joel, it said that God will pour out of His Spirit. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pine, the thing that I'm waiting for is the day when God pours out His Spirit. Brothers and sisters, God has been pouring out His Spirit ever since Pentecost. Ever since Christ died at Calvary, the Spirit of the Lord's been poured out. and hundreds of thousands of people have received the Holy Ghost. God has poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. So then today we're in the day of grace. The mighty pouring of the Spirit. Somebody would say, well, I'm waiting for that mighty pouring. The mighty pouring is coming down right now. The mighty pouring has been poured out. God has been pouring out the mighty pouring for a number of years. But you're hard, you're callous. You can't receive. But the Holy Spirit's been pouring out. While Peter spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. I felt the Holy Ghost fall upon us today in a little group. You know why? Because they believed. I come here when I find a spirit of believing, then the Holy Ghost falls upon you. God gives you something from heaven. When you are a recipient, God will feed you. God will water you. The Bible says you'll be like a watered garden. But though you be hard, though you be callous, though you be resentful, though you're not recipient, yet it doesn't change the spirit within my heart. It doesn't change the fire within my soul. It doesn't change the glory of God that's burning on the inside, that is reaching out in world evangelism to people all over the universe. I feel His presence. I feel His greatness. I feel His power. I feel Him with me. At all times, He's with me. I don't have to get in a state of jumping and buck dancing, as somebody said. I don't have to do that. All I do is stand here and I feel the flow of God, the great, mighty pouring out of God in my spirit, in my soul. Not God pouring out His Spirit upon me, but rather the fountain that's opened in the house of David. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, when is God going to pour out His Spirit? God's been pouring out His Spirit. For hundreds of years, God's been pouring out His Spirit. The thing is, we're not coming now to the pouring out of the Spirit, but we're coming now to the separation of the church. There's been a pouring out of the Spirit. What we're doing, we're coming right now to the time when we're going to shuck the corn and take the grain out. There's been a dry spell. There's been a great dry spell. And the only pouring out of God's Spirit that's coming now is going to be that which will be the revelation of Christ to rapture the church. There must be, as we would say, a latter rain. And yet Pentecost was the latter rain poured out upon the people. It was the latter rain. But the thing is, for the church to be able to receive what God's got for them, they're going to have to receive a stirring on the inside that will manifest that which is the latter rain. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean when the latter rain comes if Pentecost was the latter rain? Would you like for me to cloud up and rain all over you? Somebody said, I'm waiting for the latter rain, Brother Pike. The church is the latter rain. We are the rain of God. We're supposed to be raining on the people. We're God's latter rain. We're not waiting for the latter rain. We are God's latter rain. Clouds with water. We are filled with the waters of heaven. Filled with the waters of God. I'm not waiting for a latter rain. I'm full of rain. Hallelujah. I'm full of rain. How many is full of rain tonight? Somebody said, send the rain. He did send the rain. We're here. Hallelujah. So then who's waiting for the latter rain? Those that's got dry, parched fields. Those that's got dry, parched fields. How many of you would like to cloud up and rain all over them? And help them a little bit, would you? In the time of drought, would you give them a little to drink? I'm talking about a fountain open in the house of David. This great latter rain of God, hallelujah. Somebody said when that great Spirit comes, it's been here all the time. Brother Taylor sings, it's here, He's everywhere. Hallelujah. You know what it is? It isn't that God has failed to be present. It's that your faith has failed to be present. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? While Peter was walking on the waters, being a master of the situation, no doubt the others were standing in the boat shivering and shaking. But Peter was a master. Peter was a master by faith in God. See, God is waiting for you and I to be up and be about the Father's business. To get stirred up in God. To stop being dry. Somebody said dry hands. To stop being dry. To stop waiting. To stop looking. I'm not waiting and looking. Somebody said, Brother Pike, are you waiting on God? No. I'm not waiting on God. How can I wait on God? The Bible said, he that receiveth the message, let him run with it. How are you going to wait on God if you're running with the message? I'm not waiting on God. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of waiting on God. Somebody would say, well, they waited on God at Pentecost. They had to wait on God at Pentecost. Because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Why should I wait on God? I've already got the Holy Ghost. Have you got the gift of the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. Why should I wait on God if the Holy Ghost is God? He's inside of me. What I need to do is to do something for God. Not wait on God, but do something for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. To get up and be about the Father's business. Go out here somewhere. Find a dry, parched field. Somebody's sitting there and shivering from the powers of the devil. Don't know what to do. Is in poverty and sickness, fear and complex. And just walk out there and cloud up and rain all over him and say, be free. God set you free. Hallelujah! That's no standing for God. Instead of waiting and waiting. Did you know you can wait your life away? Did you know that? Why, you can sit there and say, it's going to be, it's going to be, it's going to be, but when is it going to be? What day, what year, what time? When is it going to be? God isn't I was, God isn't I shall be, God is I am. Hallelujah! Glory to God, that's what I like about serving God, because God is the I am. Hallelujah! God's the I am. Praise God. You say, the I am what? If you're sick, I am your healing. If you're dead, I am your resurrection. Hallelujah! If you're tired and weary, I'm a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Oh, hallelujah. Some of these days, God will begin to move some of the brethren, and they'll stand in the midst of great men and the powers and dignitaries. The voice of God will thunder through them to these great intellectual giants, saying unto them, who art thou that darkenest counsel without knowledge? Hallelujah! Who art thou? Sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. You can hear them rumbling. Thunderous, powerful men. Sons of thunder. Hallelujah. Said James and John, the sons of thunder. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? God is so wonderful. We spoke the other night of the Urim Thundum. We got it. How do you know we are royal priesthood? Bearing the breastplate of judgment, the little pocket in there, and the Urim Thundum on the inside. You know, we spoke of that the other night. On either end, a little stone. One of them, an aquamarine, a bluish stone. The other, a pinkish stone on the other end. The bluish side, over here on one side, the Urim. On the other side, the stone was the thunder. One on this side is taken from the Greek word or. Or comes from the word or. O-R. It has to do with fire. Has to do with light. On the other, it comes from a word, tom. Has to do with perfection. You know, on this one, it had marked on this one a little old A out like that with a line through it. Aleph, or the first word of the alphabet. And on this one over here, it had a little X like on it. That meant tall, the last of the alphabet. Jesus said the first and the last. The young thunder of God, the Jesus and the Christ. Hallelujah. Bearing the breastplate of judgment and carrying the great Urim Thummim on the inside. Aaron going around with those two stones up here, the green barrels on his shoulders with the names of the tribes up there, going in and out among the people. Hallelujah. The folks didn't know what was going on. They just saw Aaron going there and his little bells ringing and his little pomegranates dancing about. Go inside, sweet smelling perfume. But when Brother John saw the revelation of Aaron the high priest going in, the Bible said the veil was rent in two. Lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes. They didn't see all of that. They didn't see all of that. The people of little Bethlehem don't see all of that. See, they don't see the royal priesthood of God and the sons of thunder. They don't see the lightning. They don't see the great powers of God shaking heaven and earth. They don't see the stars falling from heaven. The Bible said he came up out of the water and the heavens was open unto him. The heavens was open unto him. You know what you need? The baptism. Baptism. You know, when you're baptized, you're circumcised. And the old man is taken away. And the new man, Christ Jesus, comes up and the heavens is open unto him. Right here at little Bethlehem now, something is happening. Great and mighty is happening. But having eyes, you see not. You know, somebody say, Brother Pike, you can't have the power to be raptured and stay around here in this world. Why couldn't have the revelation of the translation and stay in this world? You couldn't have the power of resurrection and stay in this world. I agree with you. But we're not of this world. Hallelujah! We are chosen out of this world, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. But do you that look earthly, everything is earthly. Say, but you couldn't do that. We couldn't see you. But Jesus walked up on the mountain and appeared in glory to them that could see, that had eyes to see. But he was just walking around a man with a robe to them that couldn't see. Is that right? Come on now. Paul the apostle was caught up into the third heaven to them that could see. But he was just a man walking around to them that couldn't see. Elijah was a man that dwelled in heaven, that walked in the powers of God with fiery chariots and prancing horses dancing around him. To them that could see, but to them that could not see, he was just an old bald-headed feller running around with a girdle on. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. For God hath hid it from them. For the gods of this world have blinded their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and convert, and God should heal them. But oh, what a heavenly place this is. What a wonderful thing this is. What a rest this is. He that has ceased from his own works hath entered into the finished works of Jesus Christ. Is that right? What a wonderful thing this is. So then, right here at little Bethlehem, something is taking place. We made mention of the change of Jimmy Carter. You know, when it came in, the government in the little White House here in Georgia, how it would shift and he would run on the ticket of Roosevelt, so to speak, follow the pattern of Roosevelt. And then we spoke a long time back of Brother Harold Walker, how he had to do with the messenger. You know, a little simple thing like Harold's over at Woodbury. You know what happens when you bury somebody. And I made the statement today, you know, you're sown in weakness. And Paul said, you know, like Brother Harold, he works for the Georgia Power Company. He's been dead, sown. But even the little child that God just gave him,
the Caesarion, the opening of the veil, that life coming out of the grave, the wound of the earth. How do you understand what I'm saying? Coming here, the boy that raised the man from the dead, coming from the land of fire, down near the Panama Canal. See, a change. How do you understand what I'm saying? Did you know there's a great stir over the canal? How do you know that? There's a great stir over the canal. It has to do with the revelation. How do you know that them great gates down there has to do with Stone Mountain? Did you know they cut the parts out of Stone Mountain to make those things? Did you know that? See, there's a great thing that's taking place if we have eyes to see. Something great and mighty. Something powerful. But the heavens is open unto us. It's like the brother said last night. He said, Brother Kent said, you must be very sensitive to see things like that. But that's not what it is. He said, I don't see things like that. But that's not what it is. It's our eyes being opened because we're the Son of God. Hallelujah. The heavens is open unto us. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, these things are changing me. Right now at this time, a person ready to move off the campground, ready to leave, ready to go. Not speaking of an individual. I tried to say this confidentially because I always get in trouble if I'm not careful. Not speaking of individuals, but speaking of the carnal mind and speaking of the spirits of Satan. Watching the spirit. Jesus didn't call Peter a devil, because Peter was the disciple that had the keys to the kingdom. But when he saw the devil in Peter's life, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou carnal minded, you savor the things that be of the world. What is the carnal mind? It's the accuser of the brethren. Who is he that always finds fault with the brethren? Satan. So then when the carnal mind goes out, then out goes Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Then comes strength. Then comes power. Then comes salvation. Then comes the resurrection and the glorification. Power and strength and glory to the body of Christ Jesus. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Woe to you inhabitants of the earth, for Satan, Lucifer, is among you. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When I made this statement, there would be a change. And the brother said, it's unreal, but it's happening. Exactly, right down to the T. Why is that? See, look, when you love prestige, when you think about your relatives, when you're interested in the world, money, you are interested in the love of the world, interested in your own person. Your mind is in the flesh. We cannot please God if we're in the flesh. We must be in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I'm not of the flesh. Are you of the flesh? I'm not of the flesh. You say, but Brother Pike, you're born to the flesh. I beg your pardon. I'm born to the Spirit. I'm born to the Spirit, and that which is born to the Spirit has got to be Spirit. How could Spirit produce anything but Spirit? That is born to the flesh is flesh. But I'm born of God. I'm born to the Spirit. I'm born of holiness. I'm born of the truth. So when the carnal mind goes out, the accuser of the brethren goes out. What is it? Trinity. Trinity. How do you know that Trinity is not godliness? You say, what is Trinity, Brother Pike? Trinity is the Antichrist, the false prophet, the red dragon. You understand what I'm saying? Three unclean spirits like frogs that went out working miracles in the earth to deceive them that are in the earth. So close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. And what is it? Where does it go? It can't go anywhere but to the red dragon, because it gets its power from the red dragon. You that are spiritual can understand. The wicked shall not understand. They'll not see when good cometh. But where else could they go? For it gets its strength from that. And if the red dragon hath the power to subdue Antichrist, then if he defeat Antichrist, he masters Antichrist. He can personify his desire within that. His blasphemous words, accusing accusations. That's why we've had the change just recently. Isn't that right? Because the accuser of the brethren's going out. How many believe that's true? Somebody said, Brother Pike, you talking about our brethren that left Little Bethlehem? I'm saying that Little Bethlehem has to do with heaven. We are they that dwell in heaven. And the Bible said Lucifer was cast out. Now has come power and strength. When the man-child went up to the throne, when the revelation of Christ came, then those that have been among us with their carnal reasoning, with their accusation, with their fault-finding, that falsely accused the good works of God, they showed up. The spots and the blemishes begin to show up. All of a sudden, they begin to show up. That's why the elders die in the wilderness. They can't get it. What is it meant by the youth getting it? The new birth. All of you that's not been born again, you're elders. You're going to die in the wilderness. But we young folks are going to get it. We're babes that learn. God gives us revelation. Babe caught up to the throne, the revelation, the mind of God, the knowledge of Christ. Just a little old baby. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, if one man subdue another man, he's got control of him. Isn't that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? He's like a brother that come here one time and I gave him a suit. He went off with great faith. One of his adversaries over in Missouri, he met him. He preached, subdued him. The man fell down at his feet and said, "You killed me." Let him that hath an ear, Jesus said, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So then, false accusations, an accusing tongue that receives strength in a brotherhood, in a confederation, establishing, tearing down. How many know the church dies in a wilderness? How many know that? We spoke of a change at this time. Certain people represent the church. Their journey is in a wilderness. A tribulation period is setting in. The doors to the Gentiles is closing. The Jews are accepting the Messiah. Like the little article in the paper that stated, after many centuries of silence and denouncing, are turning away from the name of Jesus, having no part of it, not even allowed to read about it. All of a sudden, the paper stated that these Jews are saying that this Jesus was a great man of renown and was a great Jew. Said he kept the law better than the Orthodox Jews keep it, and should have great preeminence and respect and renown as a great leader among the Jews. Can you imagine them talking like that? The casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world. What will the receiving of the Jews be but the end of everything? The resurrection from the dead. Oh, that you could have confidence in God. And oh, that you could believe, because you're going to need to believe. Oh, Brother Pike playing his little game and we'll go along with him. Throw a penny in the pot every once in a while so he don't get discouraged. Brother Pike and his little old games. But oh, if you knew that heaven and earth is bearing witness to what God says this very night. If you knew the greatness and the power and the heartaches and the tragedy that by a man's voice, a very just a man's voice, that the sun stood still and the moon stood still. If you could understand tonight that we are more than just made in the image of God and made for the glory of God, but that the Scripture tells us that we are the image of God. We are the glory of God. You don't understand. So then, something is taking place. The heavens is open unto us. And behold, the heavens was open. And I saw the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, whomsoever the Spirit descends upon. John, if you see the Spirit descending, if you see this descending, whomsoever it resteth upon, that's Him. That's Him. Ain't you glad you're Him tonight? Have you know the Holy Ghost is a dove? Have you know that the government is upon the shoulders of Christ? How many of you know that you're a lamb tonight? And that the Holy Spirit is resting upon you tonight. Whomsoever it rests upon, that's Him who owns heaven and earth. Not made in the image, but He's the glory and the likeness. Hallelujah. How great, how wonderful, how thrilling to know. Peter on the housetop was very hungry. And a sheet came down. A vessel came down. And the Lord said, eat, Peter. Hallelujah. Do you feel like you're a vessel let down from heaven full of good things for the people tonight? Do you? Are you a man sent from God or a woman sent from God? Are you a vessel tonight that's let down to a hungry people so that they can eat? Are you? Something is taking place. Something wonderful is taking place. And so then, when the accuser of the brethren goes out, the man-child has automatically went up. How else could he have gone up if it were not that? I spoke of the extremes of us going to Boulder and crossing the Arctic Circle, the land of the midnight sun. And then the other extreme of going to the land of Del Fuego, the land of fire, down to that other extreme from South Pole to North Pole. I spoke of it the other night in just a little bit of the earth being tilted and what it had to do with comprehending the heights and the depths and the width and the lengths thereof. I know many of you don't understand what I'm saying. I understand that you don't understand. But pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. There is a spirit of revelation that can talk with you, that can may open your minds. So then when the accuser of the brethren goes out, where does he go out from? He goes out from heaven. What does he do? He goes to make war with the remnant of the woman's seed. Isn't that right? Why? Because the woman is sealed away. She goes into a wilderness where she had the place prepared. Is that right? But the child went up into the third heaven. Isn't that right? And Satan went into a rage and went to make war with the remnant of the seed. I wish we had more time and more interest. We could talk longer. The heavens are open tonight. You say they're not open to me, Brother Pike. I wish they were. If you was the Son of God, they would be open to you. But they are open to us. And we see the glory of God. And we see the vision of God. And we see the mind of God. And we understand the revelation of Christ. And we know that the end of the world is here. Great tribulation such as the world has never known is about to come upon the people. The great army of locusts is again, as it did through the dark age, about to come over the people. The caterpillars and the locusts to devour the people. But we are saved. We are saved. We are saved. All right. I know you want to listen. I can pick up your spirit and tell you want to listen to more. But I can also tell that what I'm already saying is not finding the root that it needs to find, and you're not becoming illuminated with the glory to glory change. But it's so wonderful. I'm thankful to have a chance to talk with you tonight, just for a few minutes, and share my enthusiasm with you. I'm thankful for the Word of God. And probably I won't get to talk with you no more before I leave. Maybe the men at the men's meeting, maybe not. But at any rate, I'll see you whenever I do get back. I'll be back. But remember one thing. Every time we leave and come back, something took place. Something took place. You know, I'm going to say this one more time to you tonight. Don't receive this as a knowledge, for knowledge puffeth up. Receive this as the edifying, charitable message and knowledge of God, that it might edify you. Receive it as a charitable thing. Take heed how that you hear it, the way that you receive it, the way that you incorporate it in your life. Because this is what I told you before. This is the rapture taking place. Somebody would say, well, I'm waiting till Thessalonians change comes about. I say, all right, go ahead and wait. All the world's waiting. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Catholics, the drunkard, the harlot, all of them's waiting for the Thessalonian change. Join the group. But while you're doing that, I'm going to enjoy the presence of God up here in this place where He took me to. You say, now where did He take you to? Well, when you're changing from glory to glory, you must be in glory. Moses and Elijah was in glory. How can you change from glory to glory if you're not in glory? So, but Brother Pike, if you're in one glory, ain't that heaven? Could be the first, second, or the third. But we're changing from glory to glory. So I'm going to accept the thing the way that the Lord has made it to be and let you do what you will. But in the meantime, whatever you do is up to you and between you and your Creator. But the Lord has said something to you, and many of you did not receive it. You cannot receive it. You cannot receive anything save it be given you of God. You cannot receive it. Not a multitude, but a little flock. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Few there be that find it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. But the few that does find it, they are the sons and daughters of God. They are the bride of Christ. They are that that's caught away because they found it. Many multiplied things I just love to say tonight that floods my mind, but I know that you're not illuminated. I know that it's not taken. So I finish my sermonette. And I hope that everything will be well with you in the event that we do leave and go to Mexico. I hope that everything will be well with you until we get back. We always trust you into the hands of sober, godly brethren that watch over you until we come back. And I trust that everything will be well with you. I trust that you will pray for me, that we'll have a safe journey, because there's a lot of danger and roads in Mexico. Should we go down into Honduras, they're very treacherous. People are very dangerous as you go further down. But you pray for us that the Lord will meet the needs and help us, and God will meet the needs. I want you to stand with me. Really disturbs me. Really. It disturbs me greatly when I'm made to realize that many of you are not getting the things of God. It's like having children that come up to the table and they're not hungry. The reason they're not hungry is because they've been over to the neighbor's house.
Well, they've been out somewhere eating something that is not nutritional. It's not anything that can nourish them. But they're all filled up. They're all filled up. You can run by the sandwich joint, you know, and get a little bit of ice cream and cake and honey and whatever. Tastes real good. But when the time of endurance and patience and perseverance arises for the day's labor, it won't give you strength like cornbread and peas. It won't do the job. You'll find yourself fainting in the way. Meat is for the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Have you exercised your senses? Or are you filled up on the world? Are you filled up on the world? Is your excitement and prestige and money, vesture, fine and gay clothing? You know, I made the statement today where the problem is the church or the people who call themselves the church, they're seeking to conquer by finding favor in the political realms and having promotion. But the Bible said promotion comes from God. They're seeking to do it by money, having dinners, banquet, all of those things. But see, that's wrong. That's the flesh, eating and drinking, suppers and parties and breakfasts, congregational gathering, supposing that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said, from such, turn away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then let Him add it. His blessing will make you rich and won't add any sorrow. But see, they're seeking that rather than the power of God. They need to be seeking favor with God. What should we be doing? The Bible said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. I seek to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death, that I might then know Him in the power of His resurrection. Why is it that down in Mexico, India, and some of the other places, why is it such a great move all of a sudden? We'll break out in some little old baby in the Lord. We'll walk over and a dead man's raised. Because Jesus is with the suffering. With the suffering. While Americans feed themselves and have a good time, Christ is not among them. He's with the poor and with the suffering. Jesus said concerning John, said, prophets don't live in palaces. Down there with the suffering, God is working. And when we get back to that place, then the Lord will be in our midst. So then, is it a race and a strife to see who can have the most prestige and the biggest bank account and the best car? To have parties and breakfasts? Is that it? That's not it. Then what is it? It is to have the Holy Spirit in here, the power and the strength to pick up this outer man and take him and nail him to Calvary. And while he diminishes, Christ increases. For he must decrease and Christ must increase. Is that right? In the decreasing of the outer man through suffering and self-denial, looking on the things of others, esteeming others better than himself, seeking the wealth of others, while he dies continually, while he diminishes, then the inner man grows and comes into great power and great strength with God. Is that right? The bigger this outer feller is, the littler that Jesus is on the inside. So then, we need to have a mind to suffer. Let's sing a little chorus together. You know, it's hard to believe, and yet it's true, that a prophet is never without honor, save in his own country and among his own household. That's true, isn't it? Daddy may be a prophet, but to mama, he's the breadwinner. He might be an apostle, But to Junior and little Joe, he's daddy. He may have great potentials and great abilities to do great things. But Junior and Joe just rather he'd be daddy. Not be too busy doing great things so that they can go fishing when they get ready. But we miss many wonderful things, so many multiplied wonderful things because of our unbelief. So many wonderful things. To a church, a preacher is a pastor. Isn't that right? You say, he's my pastor. You say, who's my pastor? The preacher. He's my pastor. But to the Heavenly Father, he is the Son of God. Isn't that right? He is a God that outshines the noonday sun. The brightness of the noonday sun to God. Now, I felt the question run over you. Thinking too much of yourself, more high than you ought to, Brother Pike. But then you tell me. If I'm out of order telling you, then you tell me. Does the Son of God outshine the noonday sun, which is the brightest, the Son of God or the noonday sun? Then I must be right. Then why do you question it? You love Jesus? So then to God, he is a Son of God. He is a Son of God. Not these claws. We're getting some lovely reports. Great reports. Somebody said the reason I can't believe the message is because there's no vindication. Well, let's keep believing and maybe the Lord will give us some. Who knows? Then you'll believe. I hope. All right. We've got some prayer cloths here. I'm going to lay hands on them. If you'll just hold your hand out toward me. Just by that, let me know that you're standing with me in faith. Now, your prayers in your union or unionized effort has brought some beautiful reports. Beautiful reports. People are being healed. That might not mean much to some of you, but if you was the person that was dying with the disease, it would mean a great deal to you. See, if there was going to have your funeral tomorrow and you got healed tonight, you'd understand better Brother Pike's little game that you feel like he plays. Because this little game would be beneficial to you. Alright. Brother Jimmy Smith. He said that his mother, they suspect that she's got cancer. Then we had another note here. Forget what it was. But some of these things go out to people that's got cancer. Some of them heart conditions, all kind of problems. Some of them financial problems. Some are bound with demon spirits, drinking and whatever. But let's pray. Let's believe. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. Believe. It might be your faith that will do the job. That's right. It might be your faith. And you say, well, Brother Pike, if it is my faith, nobody won't ever know. Jesus will know. Isn't that what's important? Could you have so great a faith that nobody ever know about it? The Bible said if you have a gift, it'll make way for you. God will see that it's brought to the front. You just believe. Now's a chance for schooling. Now's a chance to try your faith. Now's a chance to develop.
God will bring it forth. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, as I lay my hands upon these claws, Holy Father, I thank you for your presence. The unbelief is so great among people in the world today. But these few that's in my midst tonight, Father, I feel the great spirit. Hallelujah. Fathers, I feel faith from some of these brethren and sisters. Father, when I feel this faith, Jesus, I feel you coming down from heaven. I feel the latter rain just as quick as they believe. I feel the latter rain. And oh Lord, as this great anointing comes down, heal Jesus. Heal. Heal. Anoint these claws. Heal. Father, heal tonight. Heal. I feel you healing, Jesus. Heal the people. Heal the people, Jesus. Heal the little sons and the daughters. Heal the mothers and the daddies. Heal the wives and the husbands. Heal the loved ones. Anoint these claws, O mighty Holy One of heaven. Let the angel of God be present and sweep over us and heal. Wherever these claws go, let there be a testimony, my Savior, for the glory of Jesus, for the exalting of His great name and His righteousness in the earth. Confirm the ministry with signs and wonders following. Granted, O God, you said the believers would do it. Let people of little Bethlehem be believers. And wherever these people go from day to day, into homes to pray for the sick, into hospital and old folks' homes, Father, into the prisons, into the highways, into the churches, into the tents, Father, heal wherever they pray. If they talk to somebody out on the street, let them be great deliverers. And let their words that utter forth from their lips be piercing, sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, let it root out and cast out the demons and unclean spirits out of the lives of them that they communicate with. May they have power of word, that by your word, as they speak, it might be God's word, an anointed voice, a communication that will cast out the unclean spirit and deliver the man or woman, boy or girl. Lord, that they might feel free to listen to the holy word of God as they continue their conversation with them. And then convert them and bring them into the love of God, and that their soul might escape the burning pit, hating the garments that spotted with the flesh, pulling them out of the fire. Have your way, Jesus. Wherever our voice is heard, Jesus, wherever this voice is heard, Lord, by video or by tape, heal, Jesus. I pray that you'll heal if people believe. Heal, there's no distance in prayer. And I pray for those people, wherever they hear my voice, Father, if they'll believe, I pray that God will heal them and deliver them from unclean spirits, O God. The name of your darling Son, Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, heal and save and forgive. Save lost souls. Let the word of deliverance convert the heart. May they be saved, delivered in Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. Those that needed the prayer cloths, if you'll come up. There's 14 of them. And those that need a prayer cloth, if you'll be kind enough to come up. That's the last one. How many more that needs prayer cloths tonight? Take a few more here and anoint them. I hope the ladies will keep us plenty of prayer cloths cut and stamped, because sometimes you send them out through letters. People will write and ask for them when they know that you've got them. These little prayer cloths gives them a personal contact from the hands of prayer and from the presence of the believers. It gives them something personal that they can feel the presence of the praying people with them. They feel the presence of those people with them in having the little prayer cloth. Okay, we'll pray again. Don't forget to pray for us while we're down in Old Mexico. We need your prayer. When you go there, you go by faith. There's rich people in Mexico, but they don't support you unless God works a great, outstanding thing for you. Many of them that give their pennies, when you put it all together, it's hardly enough to get a meal. People are going to have great respect for little Bethlehem. The Lord must teach them respect, but they will have great respect for little Bethlehem, because God will heal and God will save and God will deliver. It'll become a great lighthouse for God. Can you stand one more time with me? Believe one more time with me, can you? Stretch your hands out this way again, will you, folks? Now, I want you to know, a little bit ago when you stretched out your hand, I felt faith. I didn't feel too much faith from you while I was preaching to you. I'm literally shocked. But nevertheless, I understand, because the Lord always reminds me of the vision where the heavens was open unto me. And as I look back to the multitude, they couldn't see. They wanted to, but they couldn't see any farther than me. They was looking at me, but they could not see what I was looking at. So I understand, but have confidence. You must have confidence, not in my flesh, but in His flesh. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. His flesh was the atonement, His blood. We've got that royal blood flowing through our veins. As I pray again, let me feel the same faith. It takes an effort to believe. Did you know that? It takes a concern. It takes a compassion. But I felt those cloths anointed a while ago. I felt those prayers anointed. That means that somebody will be giving us a good report. Watch and see. I feel faith right now. Will you stretch your hands out and pray with me? Lord, as I lay hands upon these cloths, I feel that same anointing coming down on me. I feel the same faith. Heal, O God. I feel your healing, Jesus. Heal, I pray thee, God, heal. Heal in the name of Jesus. Stretch out your divine hands, O God, and heal the sick. Raise the dead, Father. Cleanse the leper. Let the oppressed go free. Cast out the unclean spirits. Heal and save, Jesus. Save in a great and a mighty way. Let every cloth that goes out this very night
heal and bring deliverance by your Spirit. Let your Spirit go with these cloths. Let them be anointed. God, as the ground was anointed where Moses stood, that it was holy ground. Let these cloths be holy cloths. And healing and virtue rest upon them. In Jesus' name, your name is stamped upon these cloths. May the name of the Lord, the healing and power of God and deliverance that's in that name go to these people. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say again that I appreciate you being here. Thank the Lord for you. Let's all stand one more time. We'll sing a little chorus, and I'll let you go. If you want to be healed, believe. Believe. Decree a thing in your heart, it will come to pass. When you pray, believe. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Ask in faith, and God will heal you. I promise you on the authority of God's word, He will heal you. You might say, Brother Pike, I'm so sick, I'm so weary, I'm so tired, I've borne such a load that I can't continue on. But I promise you, though it seems pathetic, though it seems unbelievable, though you say, Lord, it's for others but not for me, I'm not good enough, you're the kind that Jesus died for you. For the Bible said He so loved us while we were yet in our sins that He gave His Son to die for us. So then, dare to believe. What have you got to lose? If you're sick and going to die, why not believe? You say, but I can't believe, Brother Pike, because there's something that makes me feel like that I just ain't going to be one of those that'll be healed. Don't listen to that something. Somebody would say, but if I hear that, then that means I'm not believing. Don't mean any such thing. That just means the devil's howling. Because there's a strong wind blowing outside and you can hear it, that don't mean you got trouble on the inside. Long as the doors are fastened securely and the windows are fastened securely, you don't have any problems. Believe. If you're in poverty, believe. Ask God to help you. If you're having trouble in your home, believe. If you feel your wife don't love you, believe. If you feel your husband don't love you, believe. Believe that He does love you because of what Christ said. Believe she does care for you because of what Christ said. Say, but if I believe and it don't happen, then what? Well, they may have her funeral or his funeral. If they're one of them that God don't want to be with you, He'll just put them out of commission and give you another one that will love you. But if there's any good thing about them that can make you happy, the Lord will make them love you. The preparation of man's heart is from God. You love Jesus? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. It works. When you get in your automobile to take a trip, believe that you're going to be saved. Every time that I get in a plane, and I've rode one many a time I've been on a plane. And when I get in a plane, I sit down and I say, Lord, I commit my spirit into Thine hands for Thy keeping. My family in the safety of this plane. And then I feel His Spirit. And I say, by faith I will go to where I'm going and be safe. And by faith I will return safe. By faith. Then Jesus cries. And the plane can't do nothing but just sail along. By faith. By faith. Make your heart believe. Tell your heart the truth. Do the things that brings to your heart consolation. The secret of faith is doing always the things that please God. You can't please Him without faith. Enoch had this testimony. He pleased God. Therefore he had faith that translated him. Let's please God. Don't have condemnation. Happy is he that does not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. That don't mean practice sin, but that means when you're doing your best, Satan takes advantage and causes you to stumble. A good man falls 7 times, he'll get back up.
If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. He knew we didn't mean to make a mistake. He knows we're sons of God, no matter what my heart says. He ain't got nothing to do with it. But if our heart condemns us not, then do we have faith toward God and we receive whatever we want from Christ. You love the Lord. Doing these things, hereby we assure our hearts. Then do we have confidence that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know we receive of Him because He hears us. His ears are ever attentive to the cry of the righteous. Would you dare to believe tonight? How many would dare to believe, really believe, for whatever you need, believe tonight? If you will sincerely believe, though you think it can't happen to you, but if you'll sincerely believe, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and if it doesn't work, I want you to come back and say, Brother Pike, you are a liar. I want you to do it. Now you say, but wait a minute, all these people, you know, it couldn't happen to them. I said, if you believe, you can tell when you're believing. Somebody said, well, how are you going to know when you believe? I can tell when I'm believing. My wife says, your breakfast is ready. I said, what did I hear? I'm hungry. My wife said, my breakfast is ready. I said, I believe that. I get up and I go to the table and eat. How many believe your breakfast is ready when your wife tells you it's ready? You men folk. Sure. Have you got more confidence in her than you have God? How many got more confidence in your wife than you have God? God said, all things are yours. Didn't He say that? What is it that you need? What is it that you need if all things are yours? The thing to do is take your faith and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Somebody said, I'm just praying that God will give me peace. I'm praying that God will give me rest. I'm praying that God will give me joy. Well, while you're praying that God will give it to you, I'm enjoying my peace and rest and joy. Because He gave me all things in Christ. Go you away and sin no more. Rejoice forevermore. Let not your heart be troubled. Have faith in God. Why not? Why go through a wilderness trying to convince yourself? Just do what He told you. Don't that make you feel better? So wonderful. Let's sing this little chorus. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Believe that? I want you to believe. I want you to be a people that believe. Without faith, you can't please God. And I want you to believe. I feel like God wants to do something for the people of Little Bethlehem. So you need to believe. I want you to believe. Anything that would take away the virtues of your life or cause you to feel under condemnation, leave it alone. Get rid of the magazines. Get rid of the things, the pictures. Get rid of anything in your home that's non-virtuous. If it have any virtue that will inspire your faith, virtue is the strength of your faith. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Be filled with the virtue. That's the strength of your faith. Strengthen your faith. And great things will happen to you. Did you know that? Great things will happen to you if you don't believe. I want you to sing that with me one more time, and then we're going to let you go. Now, if you need work, if you need to make some money, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You say, but how can you get the blessing of the Lord? The Bible said the blessing of the Lord is with the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, running to and fro in the earth, seeking the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in the behalf of those that are upright in heart. I'm going to say this just before we sang this little chorus. Brother Raff and Cindy, my son-in-law, today when we took the missionary offering, they took all of their money and they gave it to the missionary. Every bit of it they gave to the missionary. They did it by faith, believing that God would let them go down into Central America. And they say that they're convinced in their heart, though they don't have any money in any way, that God is going to let them go and make a way, because they gave everything they had to the missionary, believing God that he would do it. That's the way to do it. Try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, one that you'll not be able to contain or receive. It'll overflow. You'll have to share it with others. Let's sing that chorus one more time. At the cross.